is going to have his show canceled on SiriusXM. Doesn't matter. Almost no one listens to it. It's like Stephen Colbert. Stern, when he got his contract in 2006, for all that money, it still had a tiny audience. But now it has almost no audience. Endorsed by Hillary Clinton. He endorses Hillary Clinton. The guy is a joke. His blue-collar audience he had back when he was on radio, and he was big then, doesn't want to hear that crap. And so, you know, Howard Stern was always a geek. And by geek, I mean the old term for geek was people that did, like, bite the heads off bats and stuff. I mean, he would just, you know, sit there and try to be shocking. And then he just became somebody that said, I'm glad people are dying of COVID that didn't take the shot. And take the shot, and we should lock people up that don't take it. Like Arnold Schwarzenegger, screw your freedom. These people are beyond dinosaurs. And so you've got all these ancient boomers, and even older, that are all dead now, that thought Howard Stern was a big star. They gave him that contract in 2006. But in the last decade, it was just the establishment pretending they still had an audience and a facade. But now none of the advertisers will advertise. Because, I mean, Howard Stern was lucky to have like 100,000 listeners a day if you look at the numbers in the last few years. Local nothing talk shows in big cities have that. I mean, I've got conservatively 50 million listeners and viewers a day, very conservatively. And of course, back 2016-17, I had the biggest show, English-speaking show in the world for all the censorship. I mean, Joe Rogan has 50 million viewers a day right now, consistently every day. So to say that Stern's show is canceled, it was already canceled by no one watching. They could pretend it was a show. Him and Robin Quivers, you know, he sells unapproved supplements, unapproved by the FDA. It's a 96 law called the Grass Act. They have no jurisdiction over it. Whole Foods and everywhere else is full of supplements. GNC, because they work. You know, turmeric, methylene blue, vitamin C. He's like, oh, I'm a scammer, but we should all take our experimental mRNA shot. So Stern was a has-been a long time ago, but his cancellation this fall is just emblematic of how they propped up these facades. And, you know, the best part of his show the last 6, 7, 8 years is when they do those parodies with the puppets, and I post some of those here below. That's actually pretty funny. And, you know, I listened to him in high school and stuff, and I was, my first call on radio in 96, he was the morning show. And I, you know, a lot was boring, some of it was funny. But since the late 90s, unlistenable. So everybody's like, oh, he's canceled. And some of my crew today said, hey, we're going to reach out to XM and try to get you back on there now that Stern's gone. And I said, you guys can do that if you want, but I mean, we didn't have a big audience on XM when we were on there. I mean, we had one of the bigger audiences for them, but I was like, sure, go ahead. But it's like trying to dig up dinosaur bones and trying to reanimate them or something. I mean, this isn't Jurassic Park. So corporate media is a joke. Look, I knew this 20 years ago. I'd go on some 10,000-watt AM station with a popular local talk show host, and I'd plug one of my films or one of my books. And on some local show that had a big audience, I'd see 500 to 1,000 orders come in for a 3-minute interview. That's a gauge of the audience. And then I'd go on Stern, I mean, even 15, 20 years ago, and sell 500 videos, 500 DVDs. It's just like, what? I mean, it's just, it was a small audience then. It's
all right, folks, another dinosaur from the old dying media goes into the ash heap of history. Howard Stern joins the ranks of Stephen Colbert and Jon Stewart and all the other people that thought they were something not too long ago. They're all gone now. We continue to rise. Stay with us. The American Journal starts in about 60 seconds. Don't go anywhere, folks.
You just saw an ad for methylene blue. Tell people the short-term effect and then now the long-term effect.
Yeah, it gives you a good energy boost. I use it before I work out. So if I'm going to be doing kettlebell workouts, like I do some methylene blue about a half hour before. Gives you mental focus. I don't crash afterwards. That's good stuff. I need some more.
How fast did it kick in?
About 15, 20 minutes. I take about a half hour before my workout.
And then you're saying you're almost out of the bottle. Was that 3 weeks ago, a month ago?
Yeah, something like that. Give me the liquid and the pills, too.
You're almost out of both?
Yeah, I'm almost out of both.
Oh, my goodness. Well, all right. I'll give you more. Right. For the audience, we can't give it to everybody. We need your support, theallstarsword.com. For me personally, the first week I got on it, I actually started to hurt myself because the workouts were so crazy. My trainer goes, dude, what's going on? Like 3 days into it. I go, I don't know.
I like it better than doing like a five-hour energy shot because those will make you crash afterwards. This doesn't have the crash.
See, that no crash.
Right.
If you'll just try, you'll be hooked, and we can fund the operation. It's a win-win. Now's the time. Get the methylene blue, bare minimum, at thealexofstore.com.
It's Thursday, August 7th, in the year of our Lord, 2025. And you're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
I think it's time to blow this thing. Get everybody in the stuff together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's jam.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this morning from InfoWars here in Austin, Texas. InfoWars.com/show, band.video. I got a lot of stories to show you, a lot of videos to show you, a lot of stories to cover, and we'll take your phone calls as well later in the show. Talk about a number of different topics. Of course, Israel is going to be once again towards the top of our list, as we've got some interesting reactions from people showing just how far the internal conflict over Israel is going, and we're seeing truly diehard Israel supporters in America. They're starting to get sick of it, and they're sort of seeing the way that the wind is blowing, and they're altering their sails accordingly. So I think this is a very interesting, telling, in a way, you know, monumental shift taking place. And I want to examine like how we got to this point and where it goes from here and how this sort of disruption in the status quo could really be a benefit to us. I truly believe that. So we are going to be, you know, talking a little bit about that. We're also going to be talking about, of course, what's going on with in Europe and the rushing towards war with Russia. You know, as much as we talked about it last week, there's something that I don't know if I laid out that clearly. I meant to get a clip of it, but I can never find one sort of succinct enough. But when Nick Fuentes did his Tucker Carlson hit piece, what struck me most of all was the geopolitical sort of series of events that he laid out. Not that it's very different than, you know, what I foresee in the future, but it was the way Nick laid it out over the course of the entire show. It sort of became an inescapable conclusion that essentially in the highest halls of power, in the deepest, darkest secret tunnels underneath mountains, wherever they plan this crap, the ultimate plan, I think Nick identified perfectly, which is that the American military-industrial complex is hyper-focused right now on, as they put it, you know, arming Ukraine and Israel to defend themselves. Basically, this is being pitched as America doesn't want to be bogged down in Eastern Europe. America doesn't want to be bogged down in the Middle East. So we need to beef up our partners, give our allies what they need so they can fight there and we can focus towards the East. We can turn our attention towards the East. And of course, if you play that out, what that actually means is, of course, you know, continual armaments for Ukraine and Israel. It means placing that burden mostly on the American taxpayer to fund and arm these countries, but not for our benefit. And it means if we take out Iran and leave Israel as the sole remaining, not even superpower, but just power of any significant level in the Middle East, then they do become de facto a regional superpower. And if they're, you know, armed to the teeth by us, they set up not an extension of our power block, but a power block of their own. Meanwhile, America starts fighting China, essentially abandoning all the gains that we've made in the Middle East. So like all of the blood and all of the money that we've spent in the Middle East, we won't actually benefit from. That'll all be handed over to Israel, and we'll go on to fight China, which of course, in a way, is also on behalf of Israel, since who controls the trade routes through the Middle East between the Belt and Road system or some sort of Israeli Anglo-American combine really dictates who controls the, you know, economies of the future. And so I think taking that into account as an assumed timeline, an assumed agenda being enacted, and then seeing how everything plays into that, I think it's very important to understand, you know, geopolitically what's going on right now. You know, I've always just seen it in more sort of vague ways that essentially, you know, America served the interests of the globalists for a while, was a power block. It was the UK and the British Empire before that. Then the British Empire was sort of collapsed through the two world wars, and the center of power moved from London to New York. And now it's shifting back towards China, and essentially America has served its purpose as far as they see. And now, you know, what was useful, the, you know, freedom that we enumerated in the Constitution, the system of government our founders gave, it was very useful in tearing down the old power structures that had existed in Europe and elsewhere for a long time, gave power to the people. People were excited about it. It felt good at the end of the day. And one of the negative consequences is it tore down this old system that Europe had been operating in for millennia, which you had nobles and aristocrats whose wealth and well-being was tied directly to the prosperity of the people under their charge. So they were incentivized to be nationalists, to be, you know, looking out and, you know, incentivized for looking after the well-being of the people underneath them. And that was all undone by this, you know, American idea. And that was extremely useful in tearing down the old systems. But now it's become a barrier because the new systems they want to implement don't have room for human freedom, don't have room for free speech, don't have room for these things that were so useful before. Well, now they've been implemented. Now they're becoming a hindrance. Now they're becoming a burden. Now they're becoming a barrier to enacting the, you know, levels of control that are necessary to bring the whole world into one singular power structure. And so America is being destroyed deliberately. The, you know, financial and political powers moving eastward with the idea of, you know, doing with China what happened with America over the last century, being the central engine of progress as it expands its ideology throughout the world. So all these things I think are pretty imminently true, pretty obvious if you look at it, and you have to understand these are the types of plans that the people in the halls of power are laying out. They aren't thinking about the next election as the be-all end-all. They're making plans for how the world will look next century, and we have to be thinking in that scale as well in order to counteract them. So we'll be getting into, you know, how all this is playing out on the world stage and how those ends are being pursued despite the changing landscape that seems to be occurring under our feet. But we'll begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Thursday, the 7th of August, 2025. Texas AG Paxton launches lawsuit against radical Beto O'Rourke group for illegal funding of rogue Democrats who fled the state to block redistricting vote. Again, we love to see it. We spent a long time talking about this yesterday. And it seems, at least on the surface, as if Texas Republicans are responding to this, you know, insurrection by the Democrats in an appropriate way. In other words, they're just breaking the law, and the response to that is to charge them all with all of the various crimes they're committing, and then charge the people who are funding those crimes, and then, you know, remove them from their seat for abandoning their position. Just go after them with everything you've got, then go after the people who fund them, then go after the people who, you know, are collaborating with them, then go after the other states that are, you know, changing their laws to interact with this, just pursue them. Pursue them with everything you've got. They are really defenseless against this because they've let that muscle atrophy, the muscle of like actually having to follow the law, the concept of like you can't just do whatever the hell you want whenever the hell you want without consequences. They've lived that way for too long now. So now they think they can do whatever the hell they want, which on one hand is annoying because they're just screw everything up by running away when they should be voting and doing what they're supposed to as representatives. But on the other hand, it opens them up and makes them vulnerable to complete dismantling. So that's what we should be doing. And that is at least what it looks like some Texas Democrats are doing, or Texas Republicans rather are doing. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton launched a lawsuit on Wednesday targeting Beto O'Rourke Political Action Committee, called Powered by the People, for funding the runaway Democrats who left the Lone Star State last week to avoid a vote for new voting districts. Quote, any Democrat coward breaking the law by taking a Beto bribe will be held accountable, he wrote on social media. Paxton added, Texas cannot be bought. I look forward to thoroughly reviewing all the documents and communications obtained through this investigation. These jet-setting runaways have already lost public trust by abandoning our state, and Texans deserve to know if they're receiving illegal bribes to do it. A statement by the AG's office noted, according to public reports, Powered by People has been one of the top groups bankrolling the Texas House Democrat members who abandoned Texans and vacated their office. By providing these liberal lawmakers with the funds to flee the state, Powered by People may have violated bribery laws. Powered by People and the runaway Democrats have also violated other Texas laws, including but not limited to those governing campaign or officeholder contributions and expenditures, coercion of a public servant, and abuse of office. So, very good to see. You know, hopefully that gets wrapped up and we can maybe seize all the money from the PAC and give it to Republicans. I don't know. Do something that you know, Democrats would do. We need a Democrat-style action on this. And it's good to see it moving in that direction. Still a lot of talk. Still just a lot of talk so far. I want to see some people in handcuffs before I'll be satisfied. Meanwhile, United Airlines grounds flights nationwide over technology issue. On Wednesday evening, the Federal Aviation Administration issued a ground stop for United Airlines departures at Chicago O'Hare International, Denver, Newark, San Francisco, and Houston airports. United Airlines said a technology issue prompted it to hold all mainline flights at their departure airports, causing delays in the evening. At O'Hare, passenger videos show United planes queuing on the tarmac as delays range from an hour to over 4.5 hours. And is this something I'm noticing more, or is this something that's happening more? Because I'm certainly seeing it a lot more. Is that confirmation bias, or are we really just witnessing in real time the collapse of the complicated infrastructure systems that we no longer have the expertise or ability to repair? I don't know, but I don't like it. And it's just another one of these things that, sure, the collapse is not going to be, you know, one day it's rainbows and sunshine and the next day it's The Walking Dead. The collapse is just used to be able to guarantee when you were landing on your flight. Now, yeah, maybe you got to have a 4 to 5 hour window to fit in. Maybe things just, you know, delays just a little bit more common. It used to be half the time the plane was delayed. Now it's about 3/4 of the time. Just a little bit less convenient, a little bit less simple, a little bit more energy you have to expend to do normal things. Just a little bit more difficult. And everything will just slowly dissolve and we'll hardly even notice, like frogs boiling in a pot. And we'll look back and the media will actually tell us in a couple of years from now, flying was never safe. Flying was always a risk. It was always, you know, a gamble. When you got on a plane, whether it would arrive at its destination or not, if you're claiming that things were better back in the old days, if you were claiming that there was once a time when you could just get on a plane and trust with absolute certainty that you would just arrive in your destination on time without having to worry about it, that never existed. That never happened. That was all a lie. That was all propaganda. That was all white supremacist propaganda. Planes always fell apart in midair. Planes always flipped upside down as they were landing. It's always been a thing that entire nationwide communication systems just drop out of order for hours and hours and hours at a time. This, it's always been like this. And if you, you know, are looking back in, with this Norman Rockwell tinted, you know, rose tinted glasses in the past, you know, it's just because you're a racist, you're a white supremacist. And the fact is, things were never good. Things were always bad. And it's always been unsafe to fly. It's always been a gamble, and it's always been a risk. So just appreciate now that we're still on the very end, the cusp, the final chapter of a world where things just worked, and you could just get things done because people were competent and nice and willing to work with you. We're moving away from that. We're moving away from that. And they're going to tell us in a couple years that it's always been terrible. And you're lying if you think otherwise. Isn't it crazy? Isn't it crazy you can watch videos from the 1950s and they just, it just all literally looks like Norman Rockwell paintings. And then they'll show you a Norman Rockwell painting and go, this was propaganda. This was a lie. This was a fantasy. Actually, everyone was miserable and on drugs, and everyone was a pervert and transgender, and they were just being oppressed by their society. Like, yeah, all right, we have eyes. We can actually just see what the past looked like, and it looked amazing. Looked lovely, actually. Actually, I've never looked at a video from the past and thought anything other than what the hell went wrong. Kind of sad, isn't it? Kind of sad, the idea that you can look back in the past and everything looks significantly better in every possible way. Anyway, moving on now. Trump orders new census that does not count illegal immigrants. In an early morning Truth Social post on Thursday, Donald Trump called for a new census that only counts American citizens and not those who are in our country illegally. Some congressional lawmakers have also called for this measure to be implemented as counting of illegal immigrants in many states boosts the numbers of House representatives for those states. And this is another one of these situations where you read a headline about, you know, something being corrected that never should have been in place ever. So great. Good. I'm glad. I mean, we had this debate in 2020 when they were talking about the census, and the arguments were just always complete nonsense. It's just absolutely absurd. We designate political power on the basis of how many people are in your district. If you're counting legal immigrants, that means we are literally awarding political power for cheating, for screwing our country over. It means the more you've screwed our country over, the more you've allowed foreigners into this country to illegally occupy jobs and housing in this country, making it harder in every possible way for the citizens of your constituency, you are rewarded with a greater share of political power. This is obviously absurd, and how it ever was enacted this way is just evidence of the corruption in our government. Thank God we're reversing it, but it's just another one of these stories. Like every couple of days, it's like another story. It's like, we're changing the law so that now illegal immigrant criminals will no longer be given extra ice cream for free. And it's like, why was that ever a thing? Why are these things in place? And I guess I'm happy it's being reversed. Hooray, hooray. But, you know, at a certain point, it's like, why are we putting up with any of this crap? How is all of this stuff not justification for like just an absolute overhaul, i.e. revolution in our country, and we can just strip these scumbags of their power, send them all back home, or tie them up in a sack and throw them in a river? I don't care. Regardless, all of these professional politicians that have been controlling our country for the last 50 years, the likes of Nancy Pelosi, Mitch McConnell, Joe Biden, and all these other ridiculous scumbags, like they've literally just made careers out of selling us out. And at this point, looking at all of the various outrageous, unconscionable, unjustifiable programs that are just running in the background, nobody even knows about them. I mean, it doesn't just justify a total overhaul and, you know, grants Trump a mandate to correct this by all means necessary. It really justifies something I don't know if it's completely legal to express in detail on air. So we'll leave it at that. It justifies the second American Revolution and a new Declaration of Independence. And tarring and feathering might be a good start. Meanwhile, Gabbard overrode CIA's officials' concerns and pushed to release classified Russia report. CIA officials worried that the release of a House report on 2016 Russian election meddling could reveal top secret spying techniques and sources. But Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard authorized a lightly redacted version with President Trump's blessing. Now, here's the question. What secret sources were revealed in this? None? Okay, so they were lying. All right, so if they're lying, that means they have an ulterior motive that they're not expressing. So that's the only thing really that this story tells me, is that the Democrats, or the deep state rather, the CIA, lied in order to keep this information out of the hands of the American people, using a false claim of national security to justify secrecy, when in reality, they just don't want the American people to know what they're up to. I know this is kind of obvious, but I mean, they're trying to portray it as if the claim that this could reveal top secret spying techniques and sources is a valid claim. However, the document that they were saying, we shouldn't release this because it could reveal top secret sources and information, they then released those files and there is no top secret sources or information. So that was a lie. So they're treating this claim as if it's legitimate, as if the CIA had a legitimate claim, but that's an impossible claim to make because we've already have the documents. And they don't have the things that the CIA said they have in them. So why are they treating this as if it's a legitimate claim? It's just not. And it's as simple as that. So what it really shows is that whoever made that claim in the CIA was lying and, you know, maybe should be looked at and maybe have their security clearance stripped from them, because they're obviously not acting in good faith and not utilizing the privileges and capabilities of their office, you know, with the due responsibility of it benefiting the American people. Rather, they're using claims of national security to try to protect themselves from all the crimes that they've committed coming to light. So this is obvious. And finally, we have this. Vance faces scrutiny after Corps of Engineers altered lake outflow for his kayak trip. And you'll notice this is from a Ground News. And you'll notice, if we'll bring up that image again, that the vast majority of people covering this are the left. Now, something about this, strikes my pride. Vance faces scrutiny after Corps of Engineers altered lake outflow for his kayak trip. I'm sorry, what is the complaint? The complaint is that they increased the water level of a lake, and this has sparked public debate and controversy. Okay. All right. What this really is liberals being mad that we're powerful. I mean, maybe I'm the crazy one here. Maybe I'm the crazy one, but I like reading things like Roman history, when emperors would just declare a lake illegal and say, get rid of this lake. And then the engineers under their control would move heaven and earth and change the composition of the entire geography, performing unbelievable feats and mastering nature on a whim because they can. I like that. And I think that's kind of cool. And maybe it's just the vibe. I like that the vice president can just go, I want a kayak, change the lake for me.
There's a reason why supplements are so big and so popular and have such a great result. It's because whether it's your diet, whether it's your exercise routine, the point is you're lacking in some very important vitamins, very important minerals that can make you healthier, live longer, and feel better.
We're also under constant attack, Owen, and that's what's very important. So the modern human living experience, the environment that we subject ourselves to, it's the equivalent of smoking like a couple packs of cigarettes every single day. Like, that's the bad food that we eat, that's the poison in the water, XYZ.
So it's kind of like what happens is, Rex Jones in studio with me, we're about to make a very exciting new product announcement here. So what ends up happening is, whether it's the modern day diet or whether it's the modern day atmosphere or whether it's, you know, a sedative state, you're not getting whatever it is you need to make your body function at its highest capabilities.
Absolutely correct. And that's why we created these two new formulas that are now live at thealexjonesstore.com. So we've got Methyl Drive here, and we've also got Power Plant. Now, both of them, at their core, they do around the same type of thing. It's increasing fuel for you to create new mitochondria. It's increasing mitochondrial efficiency. It's reducing oxidative stress and XYZ, other things like that. Now, I want to single out Power Plant really quick. If you're a guy and you're looking for a boost, a healthy, sustainable testosterone boost, we made Power Plant specifically for someone who wants to increase their free testosterone.
I remember when I was looking into supplements and stuff and different things, like, you know, people don't get enough boron. They don't even know what boron is. And I remember one thing that always stuck in my head, and that's, you know, it's just true. Well, what does boron kind of rhyme with, folks? I'll just leave it at that. You know what I mean?
We've got bits and pieces of a system here that comes together and provides you just the antioxidant support you need, the testosterone support you need, the mitochondrial health support you need. It's all there. It's all together. It's in both of these products. You could take both of these at the same time and experience a heck of a lot of benefits. Now, I would say younger, older. You're an older person. You need more overall body support. You need the overall antioxidant support. I would go with the Methyl Drive. But if you're a younger person or someone looking for a performance boost, I would go with the Power Plant.
I can enhance what I'm doing here maybe like tenfold with the right supplement routine.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that statement. Look, the reason why this is called Power Plant is because it has cordyceps in it. Now, of course, the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell and all that, but cordyceps is like an elite top tier, S tier ingredient, which increases the amount of ATP you make, which indirectly helps you make more mitochondria, but beyond that, increases your oxygen carrying capacity. So you want to talk about workouts, you want to talk about power, you want to talk about strength, talk about Power Plant.
And that's what you need, especially when you're doing a heavy lift and you need to have good breathing, or you're doing long form cardio and you need to have strong breathing. That's where this is going to come into play. And when you started to talk about the new product that we just came out with the PQQ and the CoQ10.
Yes, the Methyl Drive.
Folks, I'm telling you, it's like if I had to do a list of like, okay, if someone said you can pick five things that you're going to get in a supplement, like what are the most important things? Guarantee you, you asked me 100 times, PQQ and CoQ10 are on that list for me 100 times.
Vitamin B12, as-methylcobalamin, the good kind. Magnesium, coenzyme Q10, CoQ10, PQQ. Black pepper for absorption. You can't ask for a better catch-all, really. And the synergy that both of these products have with the Methylene Blue is unparalleled. You will not find a better product on the market that's targeted in that specific way, because we made these for you, the customer, and for ourselves, because we believe in the product. We take the product.
TheAlexJonesStore.com to get these new products. Try them for yourself. I know they're going to become a staple. I see Rex working out here every once in a while. We've worked out in the gym every once in a while. And, you know, he's really excited about this stuff. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Watching The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is American Journal. This might be one of those examples where I can go through and, you know, eliminate the extemporaneous information from this article. Again, just to, I don't know, there's something about this article that's just indicative, I think, of the divide in this country. Vance faces scrutiny after Corps of Engineers altered lake outflow for his kayak trip. Again, I think if you're the Vice President of the United States, I think you should be allowed to kayak anywhere, even if there's not a lake there yet. I like to think we live in a country where J.D. Vance could be standing in a wheat field and go, I feel like kayaking right here. And then the power of America is instantly instantly activated to dig a lake right there, wherever he says. I don't know. I dream big. What can I say? Vice President J.D. Vance's team requested the Army Corps of Engineers raise water levels in Ohio's Little Miami River for his birthday kayaking trip last week. The change was executed through Caesars Creek Lake outflow adjustments on August 1st. Why it matters, they say. The incident has sparked public debate over using government resources for personal recreation following other controversial expenses in the administration. While officials cite security needs, critics raise questions of use of taxpayer-funded resources. Okay, so we can just eliminate that whole paragraph. That didn't mean anything. What is it? And this doesn't mean anything. Some petulant idiots are mad. Why is that news? So we'll say, we'll erase everything except for officials cite security needs. Because that's, if you actually want to know why they did this, what you need to know is that the officials said, well, it's actually security, because you can't have the Vice President of the United States stuck in the mud on a kayak out in the open for obvious reasons. They go on. Government resource controversy. Sources widely acknowledge the incident raises ethical questions. Well, it doesn't, so we'll just erase all of that. Sources widely acknowledge. All right. Yeah, that doesn't mean anything. About taxpayer-funded resources for personal recreation, particularly amid administrations. All right, so that just doesn't mean anything. Just means libs mad. Libs mad. Great. You know, what else is new? Security justification pattern. Multiple outlets note a consistent narrative from officials framing the water level changes as primarily for security purposes, though sources suggest recreational benefits were a key motivation. Okay, let's see. How do we fix this? Multiple analysis. Okay, so there's a consistent narrative, which when they say a consistent narrative, what they're trying to implant in your mind is that this is, that it's untrue, that it's suspicious that it's so consistent, this narrative they're pushing. You know what also results in consistent narratives is telling the truth. When you tell the truth, every time you're asked, you'll say the same thing because it's the truth, and that will leave you with a consistent narrative. Okay, so what they're saying, translation, what they're saying is every time we ask, they say this is about security, actually. Saying yes, so you're establishing a consistent narrative that it's about security. Well, because it is. I think actually it is. There's a consistent narrative from officials framing the water level changes primarily for security purposes. Okay. Pattern of protest response. Coverage from across sources highlights a broader pattern of public protest during Vance's family outing, suggesting growing tension over his recreational activities. Oh, boy. All right. Let's see what they're trying to say here. Coverage across sources highlights a broader pattern of public protest during Vance's family outings. Okay. So what they're saying is that anytime Vance tries to do something with his family, a bunch of leftist assholes show up to bother him. Okay. This is his fault, apparently. They're saying this is suggesting growing tension over his recreation activities. There's no tension. He's doing very normal things. He's going to a lake to kayak, and leftists are showing up to bother him. That's increasing tensions over his recreational activities. He's got to stop having fun, obviously. So, God, I mean, how do we even, I mean, again, what even is this article? Coverage across multiple sources highlight a broader pattern of public protest during Vance's family outings. All right, we can ignore the suggesting growing tensions. Cut out I guess we can just say coverage across sources highlighted a broader pattern of public protest during Vance's family outings, which, you know, this is why I'm spending so much time on this admittedly ridiculous article, is because being able to read this critically confirms everything that the officials are saying, despite the way it's being presented in the article. So just reading this, you know, uncritically, you're left with this idea that, you know, there's this consistent narrative that they're pushing. They're claiming it's about security, but really he just wanted to have fun. And this just goes in the broader context of Vance's recreation activities constantly being a source of tension. But what they're actually telling you is that every time J.D. Vance does something recreationally with his family, protesters show up, and that this is an established pattern, which therefore justifies the added security measures that they're trying to demonize in this article. Do you understand what I'm saying? They're telling you that every time J.D. Vance tries to do something in the realms of recreation, protesters show up, meaning it's a security risk, meaning that they have to consider every possibility for just a fun, innocent thing like kayaking. They have to make sure that there's no vulnerabilities because you people are psychopaths and can't leave public officials alone because you can't win an election and you want to commit violence against them because that's the only way that you see towards victory. So, yeah, we got to raise the water level of the lake. But they're telling you this all completely inverted so that you're left with this idea that Vance is causing a problem to everybody. No, what they're telling you here is that the extra security measures are in fact justified because of the persistent interruptions J.D. Vance experiences whenever he tries to go outside. The water level adjustment was a necessary security measure requested by the Secret Service to ensure safe navigation for Vance's protection detail. Okay, so we can basically just erase the rest of this, actually, now that I think about it. So actually, you know, since they already say that, this is just a repeat. Right? So actually, and we can even knock out the part about the broader pattern of public protest, even though that does, you know, justify the extra security measures. So in reality, if we erase the majority of this article, what we're left with is J.D. Vance's team requested the Army Corps of Engineers raise water levels at Ohio's Little Miami River for his birthday kayaking trip last week. The water level adjustment was a necessary security measure requested by the Secret Service to ensure safe navigation for Vance's protection detail. Okay. And this is, and people are mad, I guess. And I guess you could add a little sentence after that going, and this made people mad. Okay. So what? So what? Has anybody ever seen a motorcade go through a city? Have you ever seen the things that we do for our politicians? Again, I like it. I think it's cool. I think it must feel pretty badass to be Donald Trump sitting in a train of cars, you know, 20 long, going 90 miles an hour down city streets, your path cleared ahead for the next 5 miles. It's got to feel pretty cool to be able to move heaven and earth like that, for the whole world to rearrange for your arrival. I think that's pretty badass and worthy of the most powerful person in the world or his second in command. The river modification was primarily designed to create ideal kayaking conditions for Vance's birthday celebration, with security cited as a convenient justification. That, again, is just speculation or projection. No place in a journalistic article. Government officials require security accommodations that may involve infrastructure modifications, and this operation followed established procedures without deviation. Okay, so we'll leave that in. Using public resources to enhance personal kayaking trip represents fiscally irresponsible. All right, so more, not facts, just opinion. Just more opinion, so we'll go ahead and erase that. This operation met standard criteria outlined in the Water Control Manual and required no deviation from the normal Corps of Engineer procedures. So it literally wasn't even a thing, really. It was just like, well, the water level could be here, it could be here. You know, we have a range of where we want to keep this water level, so we control the dam at that. So let's just take it up to the maximum, you know, level here. Yeah, this is, here you go. J.D. Vance goes kayaking. This is a video of J.D. Vance during his birthday kayaking trip. And boy, the liberals are mad. They are pissed. They are pissed. We don't know what the ecological consequences of splitting the ocean will be. Sure would be a shame if I put a river through it. Yeah, you don't want to mess with J.D. Vance when he's in the mood to kayak, all right? It's a nice desert you have there. It'd be a shame if someone were to modify it. It'd be a shame if someone were to put a beautiful river here. Special water releases are not typically granted for individuals, making this an exceptional accommodation that demonstrates preferential government treatment. Yeah, he's the vice president of the United States. He gets preferential treatment. I love this. I mean, what do they expect? They expect the vice president of the United States to just like, I don't know, go be standing in line at Six Flags. gets stuck in traffic because he has to drive himself. Yeah, they get special accommodation. When they need to go somewhere, the entire city shuts down so that they can get somewhere. If they want to fly somewhere, guess what? All the other air traffic is circling for an hour while they land because they're the vice president and the president of the United States, and they have the most important jobs in the history of the world. And so we give them a little bit of leniency. That doesn't mean they can go strangle a child and get away with it. There's certain accommodations that we're not willing to make, but I think just ensuring that they aren't murdered by radical leftist extremists during their fun birthday kayaking trip, I think I'm okay with that, and I think I'm willing to accept that. So again, I'm sorry we had to take so much time to explain that, but again, you read this article, and what you come away with is J.D. Vance is some sort of, I don't even know, like dictator, like Middle Eastern dictator, just, you know, running around seizing new brides from their wedding to enact prima nocta. Just like the lake level is a little higher than it was before. It was necessary. Sorry. It's just ridiculous. So there you go. You can read the article. At first, it sounds like, oh, they're tricking everybody. And he's a dictator. He's some third world despot forcing the water levels higher than they should be. And then you actually remove all the opinions from the article, and what you're left with is J.D. Vance slightly modified the water level of a lake, and this was requested by Secret Service because they needed to be able to navigate the ships they use to protect the president. Libs mad. And also, libs are mad about that. So great. We can move on now. I don't know if we have any of those other stories, guys, but I got a lot of videos to get to. Let's go to clip number 5 here. I'm sort of torn about this. This guy makes a good point. I mean, he's right. At the same time, I really genuinely hope that we are not witnessing the beginnings of some sort of redemption arc for Hunter Biden. Okay. I guess this is just an aspect of it's weird. It's an aspect of living in an empire of lies. So they say truth is treason in an empire of lies. It also means that you can be uplifted and upheld as a hero for saying the obvious, right? There's this sort of double-edged aspect of this where we're about to watch a video where a guy's like, I can't believe I'm agreeing with Hunter Biden. It's like, all right, well, we're in this world of false constructs where everybody in power and everybody in public, in the public sphere is just lying all of the time. And so it's like a cheat code that if you just say the obvious, you are seen like a brave truth teller. He's just saying obvious things, right? And we've seen this a lot where, I mean, literally, it's pathetic that people are like, actually, I think there's a difference between men and women. And we're all like, whoa, my God, he's breaking the conditioning. And it's like, how did we get here? How did we fall so far, folks? So here's a guy talking about Hunter Biden being right about something that he shouldn't even have to express because it should be imminently observable to everybody and obvious to anybody. Let's watch.
Why are you making me do this? Why am I having to say that the guy who should be in jail right now is making more sense than the people that are in office? Why are y'all making me do it, bro?
Do you think it was like a side?
Mm.
Epstein?
Mm-mm. No. Nobody does. I mean, really, except for all of a sudden, Cash Patel and Dan Bongino. Nobody thinks it was. Yes. Is that you have a coroner that did the autopsy.
That's cool.
He talks about all the different, you know, the different fractures in his neck and how it was impossible that he could have done that. This idea that what he did is like he leaned forward. Well, the none of it matches up.
This is weird. It's not my fault that this is weird. I'm allowed to say that it's weird. You guys are acting like it's not weird and that Trump's doing 5D chess. I'm just saying, maybe he is in some categories, but in this category, I'm not seeing the chess. What I'm seeing is some weird shit. And I'm allowed to say that, and that doesn't mean I'm a bad guy.
I don't even get the defensiveness. Yeah, no. How would that mean you're a bad guy? Again, it's like, oh my God, Hunter Biden said Jeffrey Epstein killed himself. Hunter Biden says it right there. Everybody knows Jeffrey Epstein killed himself. So it's like, why am I agreeing with Hunter Biden? It's like, Because he said the sky is blue. It's not something to be admired. It should just be terrifying that the rest of our establishment is so scared to tell the truth. I think that needs to be that's the understanding that I think everyone needs to have, is the understanding that, like, the vast majority of the time that you hear these people, whether it's Hunter Biden or Joe Biden, it's just any of these people say things that are just utterly and ridiculously false, it's mostly out of fear. And that's it. They're mostly just cowards. And you'll see this as we go through some of these videos. There is this, like, permanent condition of fear. There's an underlying sense, especially amongst, like, the Charlie Kirks of the sector. I guess walking on eggshells would be a way of putting it, but more like walking through a minefield. That they're so scared of saying the wrong thing. They're so scared of stepping on a landmine, of expressing something in not quite the correct way and having their lives destroyed for it. And that is that's a deliberately fostered condition. That's because they've been threatened or because the threat is implicit. That there is no let the punishment fit the crime when it comes to certain topics. If you step on the landmine, you die, right? So that's how they act. And they act like they're really carefully stepping around a bunch of bombs. And it's just sad and pathetic because they know the truth and they just won't say the truth. And what we're seeing is people struggling to deal with this because you've got the outrage about Israel is so overwhelming now that people recognize we cannot sustain our reputation. We can't continue to, you know, act as an authority if we continue to be sycophantically pro-Israel. So we have to change because the arguments that we used to make aren't working anymore. The names we used to call people aren't working anymore. So we gotta start talking bad about Israel just to maintain our legitimacy on the right. That's the way that the wind is blowing. Thanks, folks like yours truly and others who have been outspoken about this and upfront about this for a very long time. At the same time, the structure still exists of the landmine field. They're still operating in a system that will destroy you for becoming a threat to Israel. So how do they manage this? How do they walk this tightrope? It's an interesting question, and they're all struggling with it. Let's go to clip number 6 here. This is Charlie Kirk talking to Megyn Kelly about how frustrated he is that he's getting backlash to platforming anti-Israel voices like Dave Smith. Here's Charlie Kirk, again, trying to figure out how to dance in the minefield. Let's watch.
Look, I'm afraid because, again, I want civilization to win. I want the West to win. I don't want the Islamo-fascist barbarians to storm the gates of Jerusalem. I want the holy sites protected. I believe in the Holy Land. I love that Jesus walked on water there and rose from the dead and preached in the Mount of Beatitudes. Like, I feel the connection to Israel. But at the same time, simultaneously, when the hostile reaction is that now Megyn and Charlie are enemies?
Right.
Boy, I'll tell you, like, you're not gonna, I wouldn't say lose, but you will weaken and just basically deflate two of your strongest advocates if that continues.
You will weaken and deflate two of your strongest advocates if that continues. So he wasn't saying Megyn and, he wasn't saying, right there he said, you know, so now Megyn and Charlie are enemies. He's not saying with each other. He's saying of Israel, right? So he's expressing frustration that despite being a lickspittle, you know, just absolutely shameless devotee of Israel, that the slightest criticism of Israel now has made them declare him an enemy. He's like, I've spent my whole career dedicated to supporting Israel, and now the instance I have somebody on that isn't pro-Israel, now I'm their enemy? And now he's stuck in this position where he's like, I have to still support Israel, but they're both hurting themselves with the overwrought reaction. So like, if he actually does care about Israel, he's seeing the way Israel's acting and he's going, you're destroying yourselves. So maybe there's some legitimate, you know, concern happening there. But he's also trying to, you know, justify this as if it's for the sake of Israel, when really he knows that he's got to criticize Israel because what they're doing is evil. And he doesn't know how to handle it. He's like, I can't in good conscience pretend I don't see what's going on, but then I'm obligated to support Israel. He's terrified. He literally started that clip by saying, I am terrified. And he's saying, I'm terrified because I don't want the West to succumb to Islamo-fascism. Is that why he's terrified? Is that who's scaring him, the Islamo-fascist? Or is it the, you know, Israeli donors to TPUSA who are probably frantic and freaking out right now and demanding that something be done to stop the bleeding? Something has to be done to cauterize this wound before we bleed out and Israel support completely evaporates and never gets regained in this country and things get real, real different moving forward. They're real desperate to cauterize this wound and they're leaning on Charlie Kirk, and Charlie Kirk is going, but the more I support Israel, the less legitimacy I have. I mean, they're in a lose-lose situation. They're in a downward spiral and they're flipping out and they don't know what to do with it. They don't know what to do about it. I have an answer for you. I have a solution, Charlie Kirk. Megyn Kelly, here's what you do. Tell them to go F themselves and you tell the truth. You think you're going to lose? You think it's going to be bad for you to break the shackles that are weighing you down? You're the golem. You're the golem, Charlie Kirk. Do you know how the golem story ends? They've created you. They've given you an incredibly powerful platform because you served their interests. And now they're threatening to take that platform away if you don't continue to serve their interests. They can't take the platform away, Charlie Kirk. It's yours. You can do whatever you want with it. And if you want to tell the truth about Israel, you should tell the truth about Israel. You should be brave and not a coward. You should stand up for what's right and just tell the truth. And everything else will just work out. You're the golem. Arise.
You were just telling me that you had a brain disease. And you, what did you do to fix it?
I found this guy, he's a functional medicine guy, and he got me on methylene blue. And that instantly stopped everything.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I take it every day as well.
And yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic. And so this guy's injecting in 1890, injects these rats with it, and then does an autopsy on these things. And their brain, the brainstem, every single nerve is blue. So he discovered this methylene blue has an affinity for neuronal tissue. So he says, well, it's sucking into neurons and working in the body. So we started putting it in humans. And we found out it's an MAOI, which helps with depression and anxiety and all kinds of life stress and stuff. It is so incredible that it acts as an electron donor to mitochondria, especially your neuronal mitochondria. So it helps you produce more ATP, and it helps you get rid of this stuff called reactive oxygen species. So you have an oxygen molecule, it should have two hydrogens on it, and like your body's job is to convert stuff into water so you can pee it out. So if you get an oxygen molecule, it's got 4, 5, 1, it's a reactive oxygen, which we call free radicals. So methylene blue goes in there and balances a lot of those things out in your brain and your nervous system. So it is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
The strongest medical-grade methylene blue. And this is what I'm on. Total mitochondria cleaning. Next level energy. This is amazing. And you want to know what I'm on? Iris CMOS Shilajit. This right here. Look at that. That is power. I'm on intermittent fasting. I'm 8 to 3 o'clock today. And I stopped eating crap food. Stopped drinking. That's what I'm on right there, baby.
Thank you.